are listening to Into the Comics Cave with your host, comic book heartthrob, Grant Stoy.
Hello, fellow humans, it's Grant again. I'm bad at openings as per usual, but I am excited to talk to our guest today. She is prose, comics, body limericks. We have Elise Russell. Hello, Elise, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. So you are down south currently, which I'm pretty jealous of right now, weather-wise at least.
It's very nice. No snow. It's warm enough to go out with just a t-shirt.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for not expounding beyond that. It's like, oh no, today we were walking through the wildflowers and it was wonderful.
I caught a lizard.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
What'd you do with it?
I pet it and then I put it back down. It was a skink.
That is really fun.
Yep. Yep, so and I rode horses and took care of horses and lots of horses.
Lots of horses. So Elise, I want to know, where did you grow up?
Michigan.
Whereabouts?
I was born in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
And yeah, pretty much lived in Michigan my whole life.
That is super cool.
It is?
I also was a Michigan person almost my entire life.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I spent a lot of years in Grand Rapids, so I'm very invested in this conversation right now.
Beer City, USA is what they call it now.
So you grew up there in Grand Rapids like the whole time?
Kind of in like just the areas around it, but it was always central to wherever I lived.
Yeah. And how many people were in your family?
I'm an only child.
Well, isn't that nice?
No, it's boring. I grew up in a neighborhood full of old people. Like, I was just always playing by myself and reading and writing.
Well, to be fair, Grand Rapids is primarily, I think, old Dutch people. So that's
Holland. But yeah, we live near there, yeah.
Now, like, what type of books were you into as a kid?
Fantasy, mostly. I read everything I could get my hands on, though. I read the Chronicles of Narnia several times. I loved horse books and scary stories, and I read a lot.
Were you a Goosebumps kid?
Actually, surprisingly, no.
Huh.
I have never read a Goosebumps, nor have I seen the show.
Well, then, I think we've had a nice chat, but it's time to go.
I mean, I could fix it. We could start like a Goosebumps book club.
Goosebumps grown-ups.
Yeah.
Were you the kid that would read scary stories?
Yeah, I read whatever I could.
Huh.
Yeah, I spent a lot of lunches in the library. I was a nerd.
And did you have those like Michigan-centric spooky stories books?
No, okay. I never read the I never went to the local authors section of the bookstore. I always just I went to the fantasy section and found what looked good and went from there.
And when did you, like you said, you were writing as a kid too. What did you try your hand at first off? What did you try your hand at first off?
Epic ballad poems. So they would rhyme and they would go on for 10 or more pages. And they were amazing. Like fantasy stories in rhyme. So it would be about a ship that got attacked by a sea creature or a battle. Or a haunted house or whatever. And they're locked away in a suitcase and that's where they're gonna stay.
When you were a kid, did you know about like epic poetry like Beowulf and stuff like that?
Yes, I did.
So, because yes. Oh my gosh, you are just like a modern like Scandinavian poet child.
I guess. They weren't good.
Still, that's really cool though to have that kind of like thought process as a kid.
I mean, I was 10 to 12 when I started doing that, I guess. Maybe a
Still.
little younger. Yeah. Before that, I tried to write a book, and it was about some girl that rode a white dragon, and that's all I remember about it. I still have it somewhere.
Is that along in the trunk along with the epic poetry?
I have a literal old, like, antique suitcase that has all of my craptastic writing from when I was a kid.
Were your favorite fantasy stories when you were younger?
There was this book called The Sight, and it was from the point of view of a wolf. And I loved stories with wolves, Jack London, all of that. So I liked that series. I liked, before that even, there were unicorn books that I liked a lot. The Unicorns of Balinor. Gosh, it's hard to remember them all. I read Harry Potter. Can't remember anything else. Did you read fantasy as a kid?
When I was a kid, it was pretty much comic books or bust. I wish I would have had like the willpower to go through an actual like novel.
I didn't get into comics and graphic novels until I was a mom, actually.
Really?
I mean, I had a couple of like a couple of like Scooby-Doo and Donald Duck comics or something as a kid, but didn't really read them a lot, and my parents don't like comics, so I just didn't see them a lot, and I didn't like I said, I didn't really play with a lot of other kids.
Right.
So yeah, so it wasn't until I had a kid and I ran across Red Sonja, and that did it.
Which run in particular? Was it the Gail Simone run?
Gail Simone and Walter Giovanni, yeah, just a hardcore fan.
Like once you hit that stuff, did you start backtracking on the character, trying to find the older runs or anything?
No, I just started picking up any graphic novel that looked interesting to me. I'm not a superhero kind of girl, so I never really can jump in on that aspect of the fandom where everyone's talking about all these different superhero comics. I like Deadpool. That's about it. If it's creepy or fantasy, I love monstrous witches. Saga's amazing. So it's I like more of the graphic novels than I guess the floppies.
No, yeah, that totally makes sense. I'm just curious about like as you grew older, what were your preferred like study topics in school? That was a really weird way to put that. Study topics.
I mean, I actually do like I like research. I majored in English literature in
Oh, really?
college, and yeah. So, literature always, any literary analysis, I'm going to be all over it. My favorite books now are the A Song of Ice and Fire books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the books. Let me be
Yep.
very clear about that.
The one where it ends with Jon Snow getting stabbed, and that's where we're just waiting still.
Yeah, we're just waiting, and we will never get. I mean, I think we'll probably get Winds of Winter. But I don't think we'll get a Dream of Spring.
Man, it's kind of depressing to think that
It
there's a
is.
chance he might pass away before he finishes.
I think he's the type of author that would burn all his notes too, rather than let someone else finish it.
You think so?
I think so, yeah. It's his baby. He doesn't want someone else to mess it up.
You feel
That's
that
just
way
my.
about?
No. If I croaked in the middle of a series, I would have outlines for people. Like I outline books ahead of time. So there would be something there, and I would not care if someone else finished the story for people.
So you talk about outlining books. As you aged, were you all about like finishing a novel or novels?
I finished my first novel when I was 16.
Holy smokes.
And the second one when I was 18. And they're bad. yeah. Then I got into poetry for quite a while in college. And then I stopped writing for a little while. Just life, kids. And then picked it up about a little over a year ago. And now I'm here talking to
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of
you.
crazy. How did so the bug, once you just found the Red Sonja, it just kind of infiltrated you into writing comics, or did you think ever think about writing
Yes.
comics?
I had never thought about writing comics. I knew nothing about it. I'd always wanted to be a published author, but I hadn't pursued it since adulthood. I tried to get published when I was a teenager, but I just always wanted to do that. And something about that medium just clicked for me and made me want to try it. So yeah, if I hadn't read Sonya, I don't think I would be writing comics now. So
Oh, that's
thank you,
wild.
Gail Simone and Walter Giovanni.
Now, what's your process like when you're getting ready to write a story? Because you said outlining. Are you the type of person who just does an outline and go right to cranking out the pages? Or do you like start breaking it down even more?
I do chapter by chapter bullet points, and then I fill in as I go along. But I already know everything that's going to happen usually. I keep a notebook with me, and most of my ideas hit me when I'm driving. So I'll like once I get to stop, I like jot something down. Or they hit me in the middle of the night as I'm trying to go to sleep. So I have a notebook on my nightstand too, and I don't even turn my light on. I just reach over and I like scribble it, and then I have to decipher it in the morning, and it's all over the page.
What's the weirdest thing you've woken up to in your notebook?
This is gonna sound like I just wrote skins once, and it's talking about how I thought about how I thought about how my Kyra in Sentience, how the android I could have them have wear synthetic skins to look like people. But I just had that idea of I just wrote skins.
Now, what would your partner have done if they woke up before you
He
and just
doesn't see it. He doesn't care.
scans?
I think once he picked up one of my sketchbooks and just flipped it open randomly, and I had done like a little storyboard thing of this comic short that I wrote about a boo hag, like a lady that can peel her skin off again with the skin.
Always with the
He
scan.
just looked at it and he's like, I don't think I'm ever going to touch your notebooks again. Yeah, he leaves my stuff alone.
So when people are peeling off your off their skin, do you prefer like the banana method, where it just all comes out from the crown and
Oh yeah, they
down?
usually they have the nails and they dig them into their scalp and then shred from there.
Oh, like a straight up shredding, like there's no guided seams.
There are on the androids. They're sewn into their skins, so they can find the seam and pull from there.
Skins.
Skins.
Speaking of creepy things, do you, when you're creating, do you listen to Stone Cold Silence like a weirdo, or do you have something playing in the background?
It depends. Sometimes I have to have it quiet, and sometimes I have just like instrumental music. I can't focus if there's lyrics unless it's in another language and it's really quiet. But I have lots of creepy instrumental playlists that I listen to while I'm writing. Yeah.
So you're just surrounding yourself with creepy stuff. What you're reading, what you're listening to, your creepy self notes in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Means it's not always creepy. Sometimes I'm writing about just, dragons. Dragons aren't creepy per se. Right?
Dragons that are they're large and fire breathing and can eat people.
That's not creepy. That's like badass.
If you were a dragon, what color would you be?
Gee, I don't know. I've never thought about that. Probably like a light champagne color, like my car.
That's kind of a cool answer.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
when you think when your
A
imagination
little
starts,
metallic.
yeah, when your imagination is cranking up dragon stuff, do you so do you think of do you okay, we're just adults talking about pretend right now. But when you're in the throes of imagination, are you like friends with the dragon or are you the dragon?
Both. You have to write it from, I mean, the only dragon story I've written as an adult, the dragon can speak. So I had to think of it from her point of view and then from the human's point of view. That's for Grey Mother Mountain, which is from Water Dragon Publishing, and it's a novelette.
And where's that currently available? BTW.
If you go to waterdragonpublishing.com, there's a link, and it's on Amazon, it's on Barnes and Noble, all of it. So it's in print.
All right.
Volume.
And
Good read.
at
Just lots of,
least
burning.
are you strictly like a fire dragon person, or do you allow them the like cold breath and all the various other.
I actually she spits the males spit like an acidic type of liquid, and then the females spit something that's kind of flammable. So she spits the flammable stuff, and then the witch on her back lights it on fire.
That is super cool. I
So it
love.
takes both of them working together to destroy the city.
I like when dragon myth has like the inner functions of how things work. Have you ever seen the Rankin Bass film Flight of Dragons?
No. Should I add it to my list?
Yes, very much so. Oh man.
Okay.
It's got James Earl Jones is the voice of the bad
Oh,
wizard in that movie.
I love James
This is such, oh my goodness. I think you will like this movie very much. This is a huge digression, but it's a Rankin Bass, Flight of Dragons, holy smokes.
Earl Jones. Okay, you'll have to message it to me so that because I will forget that. And I don't have a notebook by me for once, so.
I'm glad you're not having any ideas about different skins again.
Well, no, not when I'm like talking to people. You have my undivided attention right now.
I just love that so much that you woke up and there are skins next to you.
Takes me a second. I'm all groggy looking at it like, the fuck was I talking about skins for? Oh yeah, that's cool.
It's cool the way you're able to see the word and remember the thought process behind it. I feel like a lot of people would just write down the word and be like, I have no idea what this means.
Yeah. Well, that's because I force myself to. I'm like, I know I'm going to sleep and I have this cool idea, so I have to think of this word that will make me remember, and I'm going to say it over and over and over. Skin, 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 skins. So I write it down, and then I've got it, like, it stands out in my memory more.
Hello there. My name is Don Cardenas, and I'm here to invite you to check out my podcast, the 2021 Granty Award-winning Comics Coffee Medal, where I interview creatives in, around, and about the worlds of, you guessed it, comics, coffee, and metal. I've already had such amazing guests on my show, including, but not limited to, Liana Kangas, Mike Norton, John O'Diener, Michael Conrad, Sophie Campbell, Guitar Max Carlisle, Andrew Baena, and of course, the Word Bros themselves, Bob and Kevin. Comics Coffee Metal is available on all the major podcast services, and you can find it directly at comicscoffeemetal.com. I hope to see you there, and now I return you to Into the Comics Cave with the amazing, awesome, talented, tall, handsome, what else did I say? Definitely over 6 feet tall, smells good like lavender and motorcycle grease. Is that right? Motorcycle grease? All right. Grant Stoy. There, I said it. Get my money now?
I have a question for you. Okay. Are you familiar with the small blue people called Smurfs?
Well, yeah.
What do you think they taste like?
Blue slushies?
You know, that explains why Gargamel wants to eat them so badly. Did you eat a Smurf if it was presented to you?
I wouldn't eat anything that could talk. Yeah. Nothing that could talk.
The thought process currently in my brain is, what else talks? Would you eat a parrot? I don't think people eat parrots.
Dolphins have a language. I would not eat a dolphin.
Oh, why would you want to eat a dolphin? Although apparently I've heard alternatingly they're either like the jesters of the seas or they're enormous assholes.
Right, right. Like they'll either save you or try to kill you. I guess it's just like people, you know, there's some really good ones and then there's some assholes.
So Elise, we've passed the weird stuff. We've passed the growing up stuff. This means we are entering into the final five questions we ask every guest. They're based off of the five questions that James Lipton asked in Inside the Actor Studio. Familiar with that show?
No.
Oh, that's fine. He's a weird guy. And he's gone now, so it's not imperative.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, what is your favorite sequential arts sound effect?
Oh. Squelch.
Why?
Because just squelch. You know, it makes me think of that. I like that kind of sound effect.
Now, can you give a scenario?
Someone stepping into mud.
Okay, I thought you were going to say someone stepping onto a Smurf, so I like that better.
Or a Smurf, but that would be more of a kind of sound, I would imagine, right? Like, wouldn't they squeak if you stepped on them? Or they toot. Maybe both.
Poor Smurfs. Smurfs didn't ask for all these hypotheticals. Number two.
It's either sex with dolphins or getting stepped on and farting. What is this? This is not flattering.
Papa Smurf didn't populate an entire town just to have them all making love with dolphins and getting squashed by humans.
Right.
So number two, what is something, and I think this is going to be cool because you're new to this, what is something that you love about sequential art?
Oh, goodness. So I am an English major and symbolism is big for me. So I love that you can see the colors and the outfits, and a lot can be conveyed that you wouldn't get in prose. It's just the emotion that can come across through sequential art paired with the writing is very unique.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And on I think the it other has side, a greater emotional impact simply because of colors.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the coin, what is something that you dislike about sequential art?
Dislike. I mean, there's art styles I don't like, but in and of itself, I think sequential art is amazing. As far as writing for it, just trying to figure out how to fit things on a page when I have a limited page space is tough. But yeah, I love art and artists so much that I can't think of anything negative to say about them legitimately.
That's great. This is the first like positive spin this answer has gotten in like 23 episodes.
Seriously?
Yes.
What are some things that people don't like about sequential art?
That it takes so long to make. The reception isn't always great from fans or readers.
Shove it. If they don't like it, they can read something else.
Whatever. And there was, I don't want to dwell too much on all the bad answers. But yeah, like the payment scale for people is not always fun. And yeah, it's worse.
I thought you meant like the art itself and that visual storytelling.
Oh no, it could be anything.
As a method, no, anything. That's a bunch of luck. Yeah, I don't think artists are paid enough.
No. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Most of them, anyway.
But also, I just like that you gave a nice, happy answer for that. So we're going to stick with that one.
I love art.
Number four, and this is always fun to ask parents, what is your favorite swear word that is not a swear word?
The first one that came to mind isn't very nice. Is twat. For some reason, okay, and the reason is because I watched this YouTube video of this parrot that swore all the time, and like, he was an African gray or something, and at one point he's just kind of sitting all grumpy in his cage and someone walks by and he goes twat. It's so funny. I don't know why, but just something about it, it's just so relatable. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Number five, I have some bad news. You were swimming in the ocean.
I can't swim. I'm dead.
You were knee deep in the ocean.
Okay.
And this pod of dolphins. They all had matching tattoos. One of them had a scar over its eye. And they jumped in, like, up to you, and they just pushed you down face first. These dolphins, these assholes, they murdered you. Now you're dead.
Okay.
So, you go to what we perceive as heaven. Okay. When you're walking up to the pearly gates, you see a small man. And he's at a drafting board. He's wearing a tank top. He's smoking a cigar. And it's the godfather of American comics. It's Jack Kirby. What is the lunatic scenario? What okay. do you hope that he says to you? If you say twat again, I'm going to be very upset.
We have cheese. Cookies. Come on in. I don't know. There's a library around the corner.
I don't know. I'm just enamored with we have cheese and cookies.
Don't worry. I know you're freaking out right now, but there's cheese in there. So you can calm down. You're going to be okay.
You've made it. We have cheese and cookies. You don't have to eat them at the same time, but trust me, in heaven, it's a thing.
Heaven cheese.
I would eat heaven's cheese. I don't know where it would come from, but.
Holy cows. I don't know. Goats.
Sorry, you just made a pun, like, dead worthy goats. Of Matt Ligeti, the comic book Yeti. Holy cows.
Holy cows, yeah. I was quiet about it, but yeah, I did.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining me. Where can folks find you on the socials?
Twitter is the best place to find me, and it's I'm the brave little teapot, so Elise Russell 13, and I'm nice. I'll talk to you.
And if this will be dropping on the 11th. And what's cool about April 11th?
Oh, not April 11th. Is it? Yeah. That is when Sentience goes to crowdfunding with Band of Bards on Zoop. And it's my first campaign. And I am excited and nervous. And I can't wait. It's coming up so fast.
Yeah. It is quite fast. At this recording, there's only like, what, 2 weeks? A little under 2 weeks?
I don't know. Math. But yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about Sentience?
So, she just general sentience is about a clockwork android named Kyra and her creator, mother, sorceress, and she has always obeyed everything that mother has laid out for her, and in sentience, she's starting to learn what is wrong with mother and how she's been wrong. It's about waking up and forming your own moral compass apart from what you were raised
That's a really good sell.
with. Thanks. Yeah,
Yeah.
there's lots of creepy monsters, and I am designing all of the fashion for it.
Oh, that's really cool.
So yeah, and then so I draw all the outfits and I send them to Danny Rivera, the artist, and I say this, but good. And so yeah, so it should be a fashion feast for
And who
people.
else
At
is
the very least, this is gonna look really good.
And who else is helping put the book together?
So the editors are Damon Barrett Rowe and Nicole DeAndrea.
Oh,
So
she's
Damon,
great.
yeah. So the first pass through will be done by Damon Barrett Rowe, and she's got a lot of prose experience. She's an editor for Quill and Crow Publishing. And then Nicole DeAndrea will do the next pass through once we've got all of the art and everything in place, and to make sure it's all as a whole cohesive and good.
All right on. So thank you again so much. And if people want to give you money, we'll have a link to Sentient Zoop site. And yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on.
This has been a Comic Book Yeti production. You can find new episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere podcasts stream. For more information on the Comic Book Yeti, please visit comicbookyeti.com. And for more of Grant, visit grantstoy.com or on Twitter at Grant and Stuff.